listening to Tales of the Forsaken, a live play fake horror game by Noble Jester Productions.
In turn, Rin's heirs birthed the children of Rin, gifting them mind to create, body to build, and flame to lead.
So you are sitting on top of this barn. You've ripped a hole in it. You've dropped the key down to Munt. He takes this key. He is, you know, they're not shackled, but he's unlocking his cage and then starts unlocking all of the other cages. What are you doing?
I think, first of all, he's doing that. I think the natural instinct would be to kind of like a stand guard. I want to scan. I know there are other guys that didn't die. They scattered, but I want to make sure nothing is coming back. So on guard.
Yeah, so you're up there. You're on guard. You don't see any threats at this point. You know, nobody seems to be coming back. There hasn't been a dragon seen in these parts for a long time. Mm-hmm. You just scared the absolute crap out of some of these guys. So
a lot of bricks at the floor.
Yeah, they're probably not coming back.
Yep, okay.
But you wouldn't necessarily know that.
Exactly, so. Yeah. I think natural instinct would be to, at least while they're getting free, utilizing being a dragon this moment to do that. I think once they're all out of the building, I would fly down, probably not land right next to them. That potentially could freak them out as well. Give a little space, and then I would transform back into an orc.
As you land, they have kind of, you know, come out of this barn. They are looking around, trying to see if there's anything they can take, looking for weapons, those sorts of things. But as soon as you land, they all turn to you and they drop to their knees and bow.
Oh, okay. No, we don't need any of that. Everybody, no, stand up here. Stand up.
Are you saying that still in your dragon form, or have you turned back into an orc?
I would like transform probably like mid-sentence. Okay. As I'm saying this down to an orc.
All right. They are, you know, kind of staying, bowing down to you, and Munt looks up to you as you walk back over in your orc form, and he says,
"Are you him? Are you the Mighty One?"
Not that I'm aware of.
One of the blue-scaled dragonkin that was in the cage with Amp looks up at you, and she says,
You must be the Mighty One.
I don't know about any of this, but maybe we can talk about that a little later. I think we should all maybe start heading out of camp here. Y'all agree?
Dror stands up and starts pulling people up, and he says,
"He's right. We have to get moving."
And so they all stand up, and Munt looks over at you, and he says,
"Mighty One, is it all right if we at least see if there's anything to take?"
I mean, you don't need my permission, and, you know, this Mighty One thing, you just call me Verboden, all right?
Thank you. Yes, okay, Verboden, yes.
Anything I can help you with? I mean, let's look together. We can figure it out.
Yes, and he looks over at the rest of them, and he says,
"Spread out, see if there's anything that we can get our hands on, and then we will escape this place."
So they spread out, a couple of them go over to those bodies that you had crisped. One of them goes and starts to try to find Jared's body, up in the trees, because they can kind of see it from where they're at. And then people go inside the house. So, yeah, what are you going
to
do?
I think I want to go back to that shed where they found me and just look around there.
Okay. Are you looking for anything specific?
Probably two different things. One, just something that would be valuable for survival. So weapons, tools, food. And then the second thing would be potentially anything that I had when I ended my last cycle there.
Okay. You would remember specifically your whole last cycle. So yeah. You would remember putting the pistol, trying to keep all of that stuff with you.
I would not remember Yinder because I was not coherent when she showed up, correct?
Correct.
Oh, okay. Well, I would go try to find and see if I have my belongings in there.
Yeah, so you go and you're hunting around. You don't find any of your previous cycle's belongings. There are plenty of useful things in this shed. There are tools, you know, you can see a hatchet, a shovel, you know, random tools and a rope, those chains and things, you know. You could probably collect enough odds and ends to kind of have a adventuring kit, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't find anything else except for this board that now you remember writing your name on, but you also remember writing multiple other things on it that are gone.
Yeah, so as I'm seeing that, I pick up the board and just kind of take a moment, pause, and thinking through the implications that someone, something, erased these other things that I put on there. And already in my mind, I'm kind of thinking ahead of, this is going to happen again. What can I do to help myself other than getting killed, essentially,
yeah,
to get to that point? So kind of thinking through that. Also, I want to grab some of that rope. I'm actually going to make a couple of, like, kind of bundles of hay that I want to, or, like, straw hay that's in there. Like, take it with me as well and kind of tie it into my pack.
Okay. Like, not, like, full-size hay bales, but...
No, just, like, yeah, the size of, I want to compare it to, like, a pillow, essentially.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, you are able to do that. You also find an old, like, falling apart knapsack in there that you can kind of make use of, so...
And I actually am making a pillow, so the comparison was, like, pretty much that. I mean, dragons and orcs need pillows, too, so...
A hay pillow. I cannot imagine that being comfortable.
It's better than a rock or nothing, so...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you get those things together. Anything else you want to do in here?
No. I'm just kind of pause the door for a second and kind of reliving those last memories I had in there and close the door and head back and try to find Munt.
All right. So they've started to collect back together, and they've collected kind of a small little pile of weapons. There's three shotguns, Jared's pistol. You can see there are a couple of, you know, like hatchets and things like that. Not a real great pile of weapons, but it's at least there.
Sure. Kind of looking at that, I'll ask around, any of you trained with firearms at all?
Drawer picks up one of the shotguns and looks like he's not real sure what to do with it, but he says,
being slaves, we haven't really had a chance to use weaponry much, but I'm sure we can figure it out.
Yeah, hopefully we won't need that, but I say we move quickly, and if you don't mind, I'll take one of those.
He looks a little bit like he wants to argue the point, but Munt puts a hand on his shoulder and says,
let him have it, brother. He's clearly shown himself to be capable.
They step aside and you can take one.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll take one of the shotguns. Any other extra shells to go with that?
There are a couple of boxes of shells, okay. You know, a couple of bandoliers, you know, things like that.
Okay.
There's ammunition that I don't really want to track ammunition. So
I want to do
there's
that.
Enough ammunition that you won't need to worry about it again.
Right, says the guy who a few episodes ago is like, you have two shots left.
That was for a very specific type of extremely overpowered pistol.
Sure, no, I get it. That's fair.
That poison was a little much.
It was. It was amazing.
Yeah, so you take a shotgun, and yeah, are you headed into the forest?
Yeah, let's head out of this area and into the forest.
Any specific direction? Like, do you have a goal in mind?
I think I would check with Munt and see if they had a place they were trying to get to. Let me start there.
He says, well, we had been told to make our way past the Barrier Forest and hoping before we got to the Eyeless Wastes that a contact would meet us. He says, we were hoping to be connected onto the Scaled Path, which is an organization of people who, we've been told, help dragonkin like us escape slaves to find freedom, and eventually he kind of looks down for a moment and looks like he's getting a little emotional as he says this. He says, and eventually find the Haven.
Okay, well, I feel like that sounds like a pretty good plan. I can help see you along till there. Do you mind if I join you for a bit? I feel like there's a bit more safety in numbers.
Well, of course you should definitely join us. I would hope you'll stay with us more than just a bit. You're a dragon, and you must be the fulfillment. We'll talk as soon as we get to safety, but I think you are important.
All right, well, I'm not the only dragon. I can maybe fill you in on the walk, too, but there's another one I met here recently, and just because he's a dragon doesn't mean it's anything good, so I wouldn't go so far as to say that with me. But glad to talk a little more with you.
Yes, okay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess you'd want to move kind of southwest through the forest. You know, that would kind of lead you in the direction of the Eyeless Wastes. Also kind of leads you back in the direction of the railroad.
Okay.
So, yeah, you start to make your way into the forest. About 5 minutes of walking, you suddenly hear explosions in the air, and you can tell that something is going on above the tree canopy, but you can't see through it at this point.
I think hearing that, I would probably try to speed up our walk, like kind of double time.
Yeah. So you start moving a lot quicker. You're kind of corralling the children and everybody to move quicker. You get to a little bit of a break in the trees, and if you kind of look back to the direction that you were at, you know, that you came from, you can see these streaks of light exploding through the air over that clearing that you were at. And 5, 10, 15, 20, these streaks of light arriving with kind of explosive noise, and then there these winged figures floating over this clearing and then dropping down into the clearing.
Would I potentially make the connection that this could be either Spirit in Mind or some marked of Yendra?
I would say it'd be pretty clear to you that these are probably the marked of Yendra.
Okay.
You have full knowledge at this point of your life, you know, lots of different cycles in your past. I'd say you would be pretty confident that any sighting of a dragon would magically tip off Yendra, and her marked would arrive within minutes.
Okay.
Because dragons are a major no-no for her.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so with that, I would actually speak to Munt and be like, Munt, I know we got some little ones with us, but we need to get moving as quickly as possible.
Oh, of course, yes. Let's go. And Dror picks up the smaller child who has been kind of hanging out close to him, also has kind of a dark hue to his scales, picks him up and puts him on his shoulders. Amp picks up the other child, and everybody starts running.
Okay. If we can pause right there, so I think with your explanation of just that knowledge of all of those cycles, I think I'd like to add another skill.
Okay.
So I think adding lore to a good skill makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So you're running, and eventually you hit the railroad tracks, and you know, you can kind of see stretching in both directions this railroad, which of course, you know, also creates a break in the forest.
Right.
So you may not want to follow the railroad tracks directly on them.
Yeah, so I'm going to motion for everyone to stay, and I'm going to look both ways. So I always look both ways down the street. I'm going to look both ways. It looks clear. Step out. Give it maybe 10, 15 seconds. And then if I feel like it's clear, I'm going to motion for everybody to come across and try to get across to their side.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't see anything as you look either direction. Even kind of looking back in the direction of that clearing, you don't see anything. So either they're not doing patrols at this point, or they're just trying to figure out, you know, what happened.
Sure.
But you wait a little bit, and then you get everybody across, and you've cleared just fine.
Okay, perfect.
Are you going to go parallel to the railroad? Are you going to stay away from it? What are you planning on doing?
The direction that we're trying to get to, is that, you know, is that perpendicular to the railroad, or what's the direction in comparison to it?
You weren't, you know, directly traveling perpendicular to the railroad,
mm-hmm.
but you would know that that goes directly to Acton Falls.
Right.
So it's going to be, that would definitely be the direction to go. Unless you have a different location in mind.
Okay. No, that would make sense with trying to get them with where they're going.
Now, you would know that if you followed that, you would have to cross the Eyeless Wastes, which is basically an empty desert with, you know, rumors of monsters and things like most of the frontier, but not a happy place to be.
Okay.
You've probably been in the Eyeless Wastes before and at least one of your previous cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dry, empty husk of a desert that on foot like this, you would probably lead them to death if you went through it without any help.
Sure. Okay. So definitely wouldn't do that. So, but they, Munt had said that it was someone who should be reaching out to him or connecting with him before he would get there. But is that the direction?
Yes.
Okay. So it really would be trying to follow along with that plan. So if that's kind of like, you know, maybe going in where railroad could be in sight, just barely, you know, but using the forest for cover and kind of following that. So we feel like we're going the direction that we need to be.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Yeah. So you are running, essentially trying to parallel the railroad,
mm-hmm.
and you run for a while until eventually, you know, one of the female Dragonkin drops to her knees and she's breathing heavily, and Munt holds up a hand and he says, Honored One, we need to take a break. Speaking to you.
Okay. Oh, me? Yeah, I think this is a potentially good spot for that. Yeah, let's take a break here.
One of the other females, this one has kind of a light pink to reddish hue to her scales. She stands up and says,
I think I'm going to go look for if I can find any water.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think this goes for really all of us. We should stay at least a pair if we're going to separate from the group here. Mind if I go with you? Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Okay. We'll be right back. Going to look for some water here.
The female that's kind of was gasping for breath looks to this one and just looks unsure. And, you know, the red scaled one puts her hand on her shoulder and says,
It's okay, Nat. I'll be back in a few minutes.
And so she walks out into the forest with you. She would kind of pause to see if you would want to take the lead.
Okay. I think I would actually take the lead and walk out in front of her.
Okay. All right. And she would follow you.
Okay.
Let's see. I mean, assuming you're looking for water, I think probably a survival check would make sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. See if I want to make that a skill or not. I think let's make that an average skill. Make my first one.
Okay.
Filled up that sheet pretty quick.
Yeah.
That is a 3 total.
Yeah, you kind of hunt around for a few minutes, and eventually you find a small stream. It looks like it kind of bubbles up out of the ground, a little hill, and goes for a little ways. You're not really sure how far it goes.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll head over there and use whatever we have to collect it and kind of get down there and start doing that.
Okay. She has brought, you know, they have some, I'd say some water skins and things that they had taken from that place where you guys were, and she's filling those as well. And she just keeps like side-eye glancing at you, but she's not saying anything.
Hey, I apologize. I didn't catch your name.
Oh, yes. My name is Krim.
Good meeting you. Sorry, under these circumstances. It's like a solid group of people you're traveling with. How long have you been out of Orion?
Oh, well, it's been, I think, 4 days.
Now, have you lived there, like, your whole life?
Well, not all of us, I don't think. But me and Nat, we grew up in Orion, and we've been mostly together.
Okay. Any particular skills you have? Things you're exceptionally skilled at?
Oh, well, personally, I'm a cook. I don't know if that's a useful skill or not.
That is always a useful skill.
Oh, well, that's good. Then yes, I'm a cook. Nat has mostly spent her time as a lady's maid. But we can do anything you need.
Oh, well, we're all working together, and well, I've got my set of skills, and you have yours, and hopefully we'll help each other through this. And
yes, that you forgive me for asking if this is out of line, but you are a dragon, yes?
Yes, I am.
Why? Why do you spend time in this form? If you can be in the sky, and I can't imagine what it must be like.
It's a little complicated. I am, unfortunately, am cursed to some degree. I occasionally have forms that are not like my own, and at times I am not aware that I am a dragon, in fact. Just shortly before this, I was a dwarf. And I learned I was a dragon, but never actually took on that form. So it's a little complicated.
Yes, it sounds as such. I apologize if that was more than you wanted to share. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm honestly a bit of an open book. So if you have questions, I don't mind it at all.
Okay, well, I guess one more. Did you live before all of this?
I did.
I can't imagine what it must have been like to be free, to have a world where our people were not enslaved and we could roam free and have our own lives.
I wish it were a happier story to tell you, but from where I came from originally, unfortunately the dragons were enslaving your kind as well.
She kind of gets a confused look on her face. She says,
That is disheartening to hear. I've always been raised to believe that the dragons, and especially Heartfang, were our saviors, our creators, and that they would one day return and bring us freedom once again.
I hope I'm not upsetting you, but Heartfang, he was the epitome of cruel. Now, granted, there are others who are not like him. Even the way he treated the other dragons was sometimes full of this malice as well, but kind of looks at her and pauses and seeing if he's maybe rocking her world too much or oversharing.
I mean, she looks upset, but I guess, let's see, what would be a good role for this?
Either like an influence?
Yeah, I'd say if you want to kind of try to read her, probably influence.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. You know what? I think I'm going to take that as another average skill.
Okay.
That's a one total.
Yeah, she's a little hard to read. She definitely seems upset. She seems like she's confused by what you're saying. And maybe doesn't really believe you.
Okay.
But, you know, she's listening and seems to, you know, at least to an extent, trust you.
Mm-hmm.
But you are speaking things that go directly against all of her hopes and dreams and everything she's been raised to believe.
Yeah, entire worldview.
Yep.
Okay. All right, well, I know there's a lot of information there, and I don't know what else to say here. But I'm glad you're all out of Orion, and hopefully there's some hope for your freedom. I mean, that's gonna hope for that.
Yes, yes, definitely. And
she kind of bows a half bow to you, and
I am beyond grateful for what you've done in freeing us.
She kind of looks awkward for a moment, and then she says,
I should warn you that you may want to be careful what you say around Dror. He is quite a bit more adamant in his worship of Heartfang than the rest of us. I don't think he would ever deign to attack you or anything of that nature, but he is a bit hot-headed.
Well, that's no problem. I've got plenty of experience with hot-headed folks. I appreciate you sharing that information with me, and enjoy chatting with you out here a little bit. You don't have to bow. It's okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I've never actually met a dragon before. I'm really unsure how to even address you.
Just call me Verboten. How about we shake hands and get rid of this bowing stuff and reach out his hand?
She hesitates for a minute and then shakes her hand, and actually a firm, you know, grip.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Verboten.
See? Just kind of shakes her hand, like, kind of briskly.
She says,
you know, I know that I told you that my name is Krim, but I think I'd like to share my actual dragon name with you, if you would accept it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
She bows again, but this is more of like a, has the feeling of ritual.
Okay.
And she says,
I am Krimbotriana of the Red Dragonkin.
She says,
it is wonderful to meet you, Verboten.
Well, it's wonderful to meet you, Krim Batriana.
She kind of stands up and says,
well, we should probably get back. I'm sure that we need to keep moving.
All right, well, I'll lead the way back.
Yeah, all right. So you make your way back to the group, and yeah, they're standing at this point, just waiting for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, how's everyone doing? Feeling ready for continuing on, or are we needing some more rest here?
Dror stands up, and
I think we're ready.
All right, well, would you like me to keep leading the way, or are you sure of where we're headed?
You seem to have the most experience in these areas. I don't think any of the rest of us have been here before.
Okay, yeah, not a problem. Let's head on out.
All right, so keep running, or are you moving at a slower pace?
Not a running pace here. I think it'd just be like just a consistent, not a stroll, not like, you know, we're not mall walking, power walking. You know, it's like kind of in that range.
Okay.
Yeah.
A couple hours pass. You know, it was just before kind of midday when you woke up,
mm-hmm.
and subsequently almost got hung and turned into a dragon, mm-hmm. and so much has already happened in this day. But not, you know, evening starts to fall, the light starts to fade, and as you're starting to kind of think about maybe we need to find a place to camp,
mm-hmm.
you suddenly kind of have this tingling on the back of your neck, and you look up, and there's a streak of light that passes over and then passes over again, going in a different direction. and it seems like these marked have now started to actively search.
Okay. Okay, so choice here would be either run real fast or hide. I think I want to try to look around my surroundings and try to find potentially some cover, a place where we could hunker down for the night.
Okay. Go ahead and make another survival check.
Okay. That's a 3, but I think I want to use a fate point and invoke the Forsaken Wanderer.
Okay.
Just for knowledge of these areas and that, yeah.
Yeah, so you pretty easily find, you actually return back to that stream, which has also kind of paralleled on your other side, the railroad, and you find what looks to be kind of a small entrance to a cave of some sort next to it. There's a little bit of a trickle of water that goes into it, and it's a little bit of a tight squeeze to get in there, but you can tell that it opens up once you're actually in.
Okay. Yeah, so I would help guide everybody inside of there.
Okay. Yeah, so you enter into this cave, and, you know, although you've had bad experiences with caves in the past.
That's very true.
This one seems to be fairly benign. It's
demon-free.
Yeah. and, you know, hopefully free of betraying friends. It has, you know, it's kind of it opens up into almost like a donut-shaped larger room that you know, kind of search all the areas, and doesn't seem to be any other entrances or exits or anything. So,
okay.
Assuming you're okay with potentially only having one exit out of this cave, seems like it'd be a pretty safe place.
Yeah, I think the benefit of getting out of sight and finding a spot to avoid potentially being seen is worth that. The fact that there is only one way in and out.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would post myself up at that entrance.
Okay. Inside or outside?
Inside.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so you post yourself at the entrance, and they sit down, you know, unroll bedrolls and things, you know, blankets. Not really bedrolls, but blankets and things that they managed to scrounge.
Mm-hmm.
And you obviously have your...
Got my hay pillow. I'm going to flip that up and stick it. I'm going to kind of like lean back up against the wall and kind of punch it a bit and put it behind my neck and lean back up against it.
Okay. And they're, you know, sharing around some food and rations and things that they also managed to scrounge up. And eventually Moont walks over and hands you some food, and then he motions to the ground next to you and says, "May I sit?"
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he sits down and he takes his food and he bows his head over it for a moment and then starts to eat.
So I'll just kind of take a few bites of whatever they have. What kind of food is there, Jesse? This is no Sunny special, but I'm excited for what I'm eating.
I mean, at this point, it's like probably jerky. Yeah, like biscuits and jerky, mm-hmm. some old, like, looks like the scrapings out of a pan, and like some beans. You know, not things that are real good.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was not a real pleasant place that you escaped from, and their food was not real good.
Yep, that makes sense.
So yeah, he just kind of sits next to you until he finishes his food, and he waits for you to finish your food as well.
Thanks for sharing what we gathered here. Speaking with Krim here a bit ago, and seems like you've all definitely been through a lot there. Were you from Orion originally?
No, actually I was originally from Wardvin, but I've been in Orion for maybe 15, 16 years.
Okay, and what'd you do there?
Well, various different things. I think I was working under 5 different masters in Orion, but for the last few years I've been working in a bookstore.
Oh, okay. Any interesting or any favorite books or interesting reads to share?
Well, unfortunately I cannot read.
Oh, I apologize for that. That was a bit assumptive on my part.
I can read bits and pieces, things that I've picked up and tried to teach myself, but for the most part I was not allowed to interact with the books in that way.
Goodness, okay.
Many of us, many of our kin have, we lack those sorts of skills, but we have our own histories and ways of passing down tales, including many of, and he kind of bows his head, of your kind, of course.
Yeah, I heard Krim speaking about his beliefs in Heartfang and some other details. Not super familiar with it.
Yes, many of, especially the younger dragonkin, have a tendency to flock to belief in Heartfang and his tales, the tales that are told of his eventual return, but many of us hold to the old prophecies.
And where do your beliefs sit? You believe Heartfang's return?
Well, no. I believe that the prophecy is true, and personally, if you're asking about my own worship, I worship Rin, as I believe we all should.
That's just from these stories and histories passed down, but with your kind?
Yes, my father was one of our people's story keepers, and he passed down many of these tales to me. I've done my best to pass them to those that I come into contact with.
You mentioned a prophecy? Something along the lines with Rin?
Yes, our people have long held to the prophecy that it would one day come true, and I think all of the signs are pointing towards this being soon.
These signs you speak of, care to share any of these?
Word has come to us in the nations that there is a haven, that dragons roam once again, and that they are preparing a place for our kin. We've even begun to hear rumors that the traveler has shown himself, and now he looks at you. I believe you may be the mighty one.
That's a big jump. what makes you think I have any part of this prophecy?
Oh, I suppose blind faith, you might call it. But would you like me to share the prophecy with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to hear that.
Okay. He's been, you know, just kind of sitting, reclining with one knee up, and he shifts his stance to be on his knees and kind of puts his, you know, palms on his knees and what looks to be a practiced stance, you know, maybe one that he uses to tell stories. And he starts to recite this prophecy. He says, "In the time before time, when the world was dark, the Creator gave all to bring forth the world, and his true heirs reigned. In turn, Rin's heirs birthed the children of Rin, gifting them mind to create, body to build, and flame to lead. But the usurper rose, her power terrible to behold. She stole the flame, enslaved the bodies, and twisted the minds of the true children. One day the heirs of Rin will arise once more to make a haven for the true children. Together they shall rebuild the world as it was meant to be. At the time of completion, there shall be three heirs, one to restore the mind, one to restore the body, one to restore the flame. Then the traveler shall come, bearing the beacon of light. Rin's true children shall be blessed under the light it gives. The Mighty One will rise. He will use the beacon of light to restore Rin's blessing, unite the three heirs, cast down the usurper, and restore order to Rin's world." And he kind of sits back. "This is the prophecy as it was handed down to me from my father and his father before him and his father before him. Thus we hold it in our hearts." And he sits back.
"Appreciate you for sharing that. That's, I'm sure, a very important piece of how you view yourself and the world, so I appreciate you sharing that. But as far as, man, being some part of this, it's I don't know. That's a bit of a tough thing to believe. Cause, yeah, sorry not to take away from what you're saying there, but I'm just not sure about that.
Oh, I understand. The prophecy itself does not give much clarity, but there are other things that have been passed down to me along with them, specifically about the Mighty One, and I've been told that he would arrive in the form of one who is hated, that he would arrive in a blaze of light and free those who are oppressed, and that he would be of a humble bearing and would bring the true children to the Haven. All of these things seem to be true of you, and I can't imagine that there are that many dragons, so perhaps you should keep an open mind.
I can sense your conviction, and you're an intelligent man. I'll ponder these things.
Forgive me for asking, but you are, of course, a dragon, and I assume that that means you lived before all of this.
I did.
Where have you been?
Oh, how much time do you have there, Monk?
He looks around and says,
I have all night if necessary. I am a teller of tales and would love to hear your story and be able to tell it.
Man, I wonder if I'd actually want to share how much I'd want to share with him. It feels like a slippery slope.
Yeah. Especially as someone who's already shown himself to be religiously minded and, you know, could potentially take what you're telling him and use it to fuel belief in you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which you may want. It's up to you.
Sure, yeah. No, I get it. It's challenging trying to think about what Verboten would actually want in this moment. I think for him, while he's trying to gather information from them to help, and obviously he, you know, would have an issue with slaves, especially with instantly remembering the history of all that, he'd want to help them with that. In the back of his mind, he's also thinking, I need to get this chalice back, and how and when can I do that? For what he would share, I think he would share that he's had a curse. He would not say where it's from, how he got it, and he would share about his time in Silverridge and how he was a sheriff and some of those details there. So I think he's going to give him some info, but he's keeping it pretty surfacey at this point, just until he can kind of figure out the impact of sharing too much with them, since they're already making some big assumptions about him.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he just kind of sits quietly while you tell him these things, and eventually, as you wind down, he would sit forward and say,
thank you for sharing these tales with me. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate you sharing your history and these things. It's really intriguing, those things you're sharing about.
Yes, of course, and on a more immediate note, We need to bring my kin here and hopefully find a contact, someone, a member of the Scaled Path, to lead us down to the Haven. And I think that we would, of course, love for you to come with us. And there are, at least if rumors and stories are true, there are other dragons there. And perhaps you may even find what you're looking for.
Yeah, I think some of the things I'm looking to do, this chalice that I've lost, sounds like a good plan.
Well, it is both a blessing and an honor for us to have you with us.
As he says that, you hear outside of the cave kind of some movement, a rock click against another, and there's a kind of, it sounds like someone is approaching the cave.
Okay, I would motion to Munt to quiet, put my finger in front of my mouth, and then I would pull an axe out and move a little bit closer to the entrance.
Okay. There's movement outside, and then it stops, like, right outside the mouth of the cave. Just quiet for a moment.
Can I, in hearing that movement, does it sound like that there might be somebody that's close by there?
Yeah.
I want to make a quick movement and, like, reach around, and if there's someone close by, I would try to grab them and pull them in.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, let's go ahead and get, I would say, probably a physique roll.
Okay. Not a great roll. That is a 1 total.
Okay. He got a 2.
Okay. Maybe we can add... Maybe I can spend a fate point to create an aspect for this. I would say...
I mean, you probably don't need to spend a fate point to create an aspect because we haven't really created any aspects.
Okay.
If there's something that is, you know, true that's about this scene, you can use that.
Yeah, I mean, I think with... like it's kind of an unexpected maneuver for me to like reach out to try to grab him, so having a bit of surprise in this moment, I feel like maybe something along the lines of that.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay.
All right, you reach out and you feel cloth of clothes, and you pull, and this golden skinned, white hair person falls in, and as he's falling at your feet, points a pistol at your face, hat kind of goes tumbling, and you recognize him. This is Roland Ironhands.
Roland! So if I recognize him quickly and be like, Roland, it's me, Verboden.
He has this pistol pointed at your face, and he says,
well, now that's pretty interesting that you know my name. Not sure I've ever met you.
I don't mean to harm you. Let's just... Can we have a moment and talk?
You take your hands off me, and of course we can.
Yeah, instantly, like, take my hands off and give him space.
He kind of, you know, keeps his pistol trained on you.
Mm-hmm.
Sits up, looks around the cave, and then he puts his pistol away. And he's kind of moved away from you to the other side of this entrance, keeping himself close enough to it that he could try to dive out it if he wants. But, you know, he's kind of stands up and...
All right, I appreciate the letting me go. Now, what is it you want of me?
This is going to sound a little crazy, but it's me, Verboden. I was just meeting with you in Ecton Falls here recently, and I was looking for Jarl on the train. I sat in your office months ago, and... you were holding a guy. I called him Limited. I feel like these are details that only Verboden would know.
As you're saying these things, you see his eyes start to kind of glaze over. And not like in a he's not paying attention kind of a way, but almost in like a magical sense. And you finish, and he says...
Look, I'm sorry, son, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to tell you, I've never met you before in my life, and I'm not sure. For Bowden's, that's certainly an odd name, not something I think I'd forget.
Oh, man. So I'm sitting here thinking through and remembering the part of that curse of being forgotten and realizing that he would not remember me, huh?
Yeah, this is, you know, you have kind of your full memory back, and this would not be the first time that you've tried to contact someone from one of your previous cycles. And you would know by this point that they remember the things that you have done, but they kind of get ascribed to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could ask in this case, but he's not going to remember Verboden. He might remember the Sheriff of Silver Ridge.
Sure.
But he's not going to remember you or even be able to pick out these individual scenarios and be like, a single person did these.
Right. Yeah, it's like in that, I feel like all these cycles, Verboden would have these interactions where he gets this excitement of like, hey, I know you. And then, oh, dang it.
Yeah, it's almost like immediately. Your previous cycle becomes legend.
Yeah.
And all of the things that you did get
attributed
to other people, or just become like a mythical figure that could not be connected to you.
Well, anyway, Roland, I know there's a lot of information there. I'm just familiar with you. I know who you are and what you stand for. This group here, we're trying to set these slaves free. Have you been sent by Yindra? Or are you doing something else, if you don't mind me asking?
He looks at you and then looks, you know, to your side, to Munt. And he scratches his face for a moment, and then he says,
"Well, I reckon I'm the one who blazes the trail."
And Munt kind of sits up and perks up and looks at him and says,
"We seek the way, despite all that bars our path."
And Roland crosses his arms and he says,
"Well, seekers of the scaled path. All right. I can work with that."
He looks at you and says,
"To answer your question, no, I have not been sent here from Yindra. I was in the area scouting for a train that had been causing a bunch of problems. Somebody who had stolen and hijacked the train, and, well, unfortunately that didn't go well. But I also am, I assume you're using the cave here to try to hide from the marked, and I was also hoping to do the same thing."
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, speaking of that train, did they happen to apprehend any dwarf from there?
No. I assume you are speaking of Jarl Deason, the outlaw. He unfortunately didn't find his body. But the train itself, all the passengers were saved, and the engine was exploded, and when I came upon it, it was just a fiery mess. But seems as though whatever his plans were stopped.
Glad to hear everybody's okay. Man, I'm happy to see you.
He just kind of looks oddly at you and says, yeah.
"Well, I guess my reputation precedes me." He says, "You said Verboden, right?"
Yeah, the name's Verboden.
Bit odd to find an orc with a bunch of dragon kin on the scaled path.
Sounds like the scaled path is full of surprises.
Apparently.
So, looks over to Munt. So I assume this is your contact?
Oh, I have no idea. Honestly, it's more of you find a place where people are and hope that someone there is a member of the path.
And Roland says,
"I wasn't expecting to find you all out here. I'm hoping that you have an actual contact who's out here looking for you. But in the meantime, with all these marked about, I can certainly put you on the right track and get you where you need to be. I've mostly stepped out of this life. I'm a sheriff. I lead the Rough Riders now, but I'll still, of course, do what I can."
"Yeah, that'd be great if you could, yeah, help point us in the right direction and, yeah, ask you a favor."
"If I can do it, yeah."
We just check in on Silver Ridge and make sure the sheriff's doing okay there.
"Oh, yeah. For Silver Ridge, well, they got a new sheriff now. I heard squirrely little fella Jasper, but he's proven himself a time or two. Their previous sheriff was a good man, but unfortunately, he was killed. Well, he did his service."
"Yeah. I appreciate it."
Sure. "Well, perhaps we can all sit down and spend a nice evening together."
"Sounds like nothing better."